upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. If they want to join, they've got the invite. They know where to call. Welcome along. It is, I'm going to class this as the final episode of the 24-25 season because there's a lot of time between now and the start of the season for the Premier League era. So, a bit of a celebration of our very weird journey towards the Premier League.
Are you including League One as part of the journey?
Oh, it's got to be. What do you class that era?
So are we going from League One, Premier League to League One, back to Championship, back to the Premier League again in 8 years?
Yeah. Al's just came up with the perfect one there. The dark era. The dark era.
The dark era.
Acacia is joining us in the chat.
It was medieval.
Hi, Acacia.
So dark it was.
Medieval. That's brilliant. That couldn't have been any better to describe League One if you tried.
So, do you know, I don't know why, but the key, like, biggest moment, like, from a social media perspective at least, in that entire era, is the Burger King, McDonald's, McGeady. I don't know if you recall that.
McGeady Maguire picture.
Yeah. Like,
wasn't that after we, like, lost to Gillingham or something?
Yeah. You know,
under Parky, when he went there to set up for a draw with, like, five at the back and we lost late on.
Yeah.
They have a picture of McGeady Maguire and McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's that bad.
It's not that bad of a thing at all, but it's just like it's just like how amateur we looked then versus where we are now. It's like you can tell nobody really controlled us at all properly. Well, was that before?
Thought you did this parky ball.
Was that before
parky ball?
Was that KLD though, or was that
No, that was that was Donald Methan that. That was
like
in 2019 or something that happened.
Yeah. Fun. Right. We'll talk about this season, though. So, how do you start it? Apparently, without losing in the first 10 games. I don't think we've ever done that in the Championship, have we?
We did lose twice in the first 10 games. We lost to Plymouth and Watford. Remember, we lost both of them to, like, big goals. We won the first four straight, didn't we?
The first five. Yeah, we won the first five.
Well, what I'd say, though, is Reid just, when he was announced, it was, who's that? Do you know what I mean? It was, I don't think anyone expected this to happen. Do you know what I mean? I didn't. You know what I mean? So, pleasantly surprised, obviously, at the end of it all, but the start of it was just an unknown bloke, and we didn't really know what to expect, but I didn't anyway.
Well, I think that's the benefit of most of our comments being on YouTube as well. My initial perception was, as long as we keep a manager for the entire season, I think we've done well, or we will have done well.
Can you imagine that? Oh, we've finished 22nd and we're down in League One again.
But
we kept Regis the whole season. It's brilliant.
To be fair, I'm going to say something. I think if we had that same end run and we were in that bottom half, I think Reggie would have been sacked. No, when we lost the five games on the bounce.
Well, I think any manager would have been up for the cosh. You know what I mean? If that was the case, but We're already in a position where we qualified, and there was, you know, you could argue when he was resting players, and look, I went to the games. Obviously, Paul Mike went to the games. It wasn't a great watch, and you know, Peter was sort of like, you know, I'm not too sure about the playoffs, but like all season, the blokes he's tactically astute. Do you know what I mean? He knows what he's doing, obviously.
It was bad though, Alan. It was a bad run, wasn't it?
Well, it was horrific, but you know, that's hindsight.
I was there,
you know,
for the, I was there for the, I think, three of the five, and yeah, it was. I don't think we can put it at Reggie's feet. I think the players just weren't playing very well.
But I think he made seven changes one game, and he gave Harrison Jones his debut, and we were like, "Well, look, he was." And he said himself that the players are players, so they'd already qualified.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just natural to take your foot off the gas, even though they might not think they were. But, you know.
Subconsciously, subconsciously.
But, like, look what happened. You know what I mean? It masterclass in both Coventry games, which was great to see Lampard with egg on his face, because TalkSport loved him and Sky Sports. And, you know, the same with Wilder. Wilder was getting a lot of press, but the dog's got barking again.
Well, I like your term.
I'd rather hear the dog barking than me ranting about Wilder, I can promise you.
I can see you chomping at the bit there a little bit. Like, just as soon as you heard.
Because you heard Chris Wilder.
The Frank Lampard and the Chris Wilder. You just want to, like, oh. I think Sunderland play better when we're classed as the underdogs. Whenever we're which again might bode well for our Premier League season, but we seem to just play some really good football. Especially, I'm going to quickly dive from how we started the season to where we are now. But especially the playoffs. Like the playoffs, nobody really give us a good look in. Every time you look on the bookies, we're like well behind Cov. Even though I think the breaking the 40-year duck at Coventry's home ground as well is amazing. The comments of the managers versus what I don't think Reggie Labrie was that well presented in Sky Sports and stuff like that, because he was just a bit muted. Like none of it, I can't really remember any of his pre-match conferences, his post-match stuff, when we beat them. Like it's
that's his character.
That's the way he operates, isn't it?
Or just do it on the pitch. I prefer that.
I agree.
Same here.
Same here.
Be fair, if you look at you are right though, like going into the playoffs, we were barely fancied by pretty much anyone, weren't we? I mean, to be fair, I mean, Paul will know this because I made him listen to us about probably 20 times saying this, but like I was kept saying repeatedly, Coventry, I didn't want them over two games. But at some point, you know, law of averages, that run was going to end at some stage, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And obviously from their point of view, it was the worst time for it to happen. From our point of view, the best time for it to happen. And it's one of those where if you're going to win the playoffs, you have to beat two of the teams in there to go up, don't you?
Oh yeah.
No one wanted Coventry with the history and that, and horrible fan base, by the way. Oh, I didn't mind Sheffield when we went down there. The majority of Sheffield fans were fine.
Yeah.
But Coventry, ugh.
See,
it's arrogant.
I don't get it.
For no reason.
Yeah, what is the deal with Coventry fans? Because we've got to talk about the guy with the tattoo. Like, what the fuck?
What, the play-up Sky Blues tattoo?
Yeah.
Is that the Sunderland get battered everywhere they go, what?
I'm trying to find the
image so I can send it to Ant if he wants to get it on screen or anything. But yeah, there's a few of the... There's even a couple of with one person with their shirt on before the first leg.
With Wembley.
Wembley again, ole ole.
Yeah.
Like, well... Guys, you haven't even played the first leg yet. That's a bit dangerously overconfident. And look what happened. You ended up looking like a massive tit.
I mean...
Go on.
When you look at the scoreline, yes. But those were two hard-fought games. Like, come on. We've got to give them credit on the pitch, I think. A little bit.
Well, they were a good side. I mean, they had some great players. It was the right... I can't keep mispronouncing his name. I don't want to.
Sagamore, mate. Sagamore.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah, he both over both games, he was really good. I thought Rodoni was okay as well in the middle of the park. The left back, or the right back, sorry, before he made, although is it left back? Might be the left back, who made the mistake for Meander's goal. He can got pace, good delivery. So overall, I thought, you know, they are a decent side, as you write.
They were a very good side. I mean, there's a reason not just the history of the fixture, like, there's a reason we didn't want them. They were a very good team, informed team.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously talked to us earlier in the season as well.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they're definitely the best of the teams in the bottom 20, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously the top four were somewhere clear in the average. I know, obviously, we finished, 7 points in the end out of Coventry, but obviously the last six games kind of skews that a bit. Whereas if you look at everyone sixth, fifth downwards, Coventry were by a mile the best of them, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it was a coin toss, though, wasn't it? Because it was Coventry or Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough ended up like 10th. But if Middlesbrough win that game, Coventry don't finish in their house.
It was going to be Bristol City, wasn't it? It looked like it was going to be Bristol City going to that final day of the normal season.
So they could have closed.
I think I was gearing up for a game against Bristol. We've said this a thousand times. No one wanted Coventry, and yeah, they give us a really fucking tough couple of games.
Reggie doesn't care. We have. That's what you've got to remember. Reggie's got a plan.
What I couldn't get with Coventry before the game on their signboards was like Wembley. I'm like, come on, man! You're not even.
Well, funny enough, I've sent that to you and you, me, and Anna in a group chat, and I've just sent those pictures in there on WhatsApp. Which is, but look, to be fair, the two games were incredibly difficult. I mean, I feel like I aged about 5 years across each game, and that's how tense that the both of them were. Especially when one was literally like 89th minute or whatever it was, the first leg, and then you get the second one when you're seconds away from penalties, and then Dan Ballard does it, and I'm stealing this quote off everyone else, but deck chair impression, and then score, and has the ball go on the underside of the bar. But no, they are a good side, Coventry, to be fair. If they hadn't had such a disastrous start under Mark Robbins, there's every chance they would have been comfortably in fifth, to be honest. So I think that, to get past them, I think shows a lot of mental resilience more than anything else. I mean, I know I'm all for, like, when you, there's no point having the possession if you don't do anything when you've got it, but for me, like, Coventry really made us work for that. And actually, would it be controversial if I... would it be controversial if I said that Coventry, I wouldn't have bet against them beating Sheffield United over two games? If they'd got Sheffield United? Not saying they definitely would have, but I think they would have given them a really good goal.
I think it's tough. That's a tough call, isn't it? Like, it's really difficult to say which way that would go.
Yeah, maybe. It's not a landslide, though, is it?
Over the three games, I was more bothered about Coventry than I was Sheffield United. I felt like when we went in the Sheffield United game, I didn't feel like, I mean, obviously I'm not playing, but I didn't feel like, you know, any anxiety about it. Over the Coventry, I just felt like, you know, they had the up hand for some reason. I don't know, mentally, subconsciously, I had that in the back of my head. But with Sheffield, I wasn't that bothered.
It's the history of the fixture. It's the fact. It's what went on earlier in the season. Like, it's all of that building up, and they're on a good run of form.
Yeah,
it did feel as though like the odds were stacked against us a little bit. I mean, our own poor run of form going into the playoffs, coupled with their pretty decent run of form. I mean, not just the last couple of games. I'm talking about the back half of the season. They were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say as well, in the games, we didn't control those Coventry games. Do you know what I mean? I mean, outside of the few times, maybe 10, 15 minutes here and there, I would say that they were probably the better team.
I've made pretty much all season. Like, we are a much better team when we don't have to break teams down, if that makes sense. I feel as though when I see a stat, we've got 70% possession, I'm like, this game's gonna finish fucking 0-0. Like, but when it's flipped and we got 40% possession and we got to hit them on the break and we've got to be a bit more efficient, then I just feel like it suits us much, much better. Whether that's down to Labrie or whether that's down to just the players we've got or whatever, I'm not sure. But you can even look back in the last season when we had under Mowbray and he who shall not be named. And we had so much like possession, and we did fucking nothing with it. Like,
yeah,
I think we were like, in a way, that sort of set us up for the playoffs. Like, we had to play in a certain way that I feel, you know.
I agree with you there. Like, not like 100%, but like for the majority of it, when a team doesn't fear our attack, that's where we seem to actually just go through it. When the teams are set up, like let's say at Oxford or Plymouth, they will just sit back and sit back, and we can't seem to find a way through.
Fucking Hull.
Mm-hmm.
Hull did that. Frigging Millwall did that. There was countless teams did that.
Bristol did that, I think, didn't they?
Me and Alan went there a few games, and it was literally fucking. And I said this to Alan over and over again: they've got 11 men behind the ball. They've got 10 men behind the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's, you know, their striker is not in the other half. Like, and it was just us attacking the defense, trying to break them down over and over and over again. And it was.
There was a change of tactic, wasn't there?
Yes,
because if you remember from the start of the season until obviously the end of the season. Labrie changed the tactic, so that's why I think he should take a lot of the credit, although there's some key figures in that in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll pick out Lafay really in the Coventry games. Lafay, two assists, and he pretty much he didn't set the world on fire over the two games, but there's two key moments, the pass to Wilson and across to Ballard, with the Breeze tactical, mind, and one or two moments of brilliance, we got the job done.
And that's all it takes sometimes. Like I said, between, if you include the extra time, it was, 300 minutes of football from the start of the playoff to the end. And other than the Coventry goal in the first two games, I don't think Coventry really had a proper sniff. Like, we were coming up against all season. Coming up against a resolute, very deep defensive line. And once they actually got that goal in, I think they've exerted that much energy to get that goal to level back into it. Their energy just dropped off. And when our players, because they're so young, they can burst through slower. Yes, don't get me wrong, Coventry are a very physical side, but we can burst through big physical blokes because we've got that precision with Lafay with the passes. We've got that persistence down each wing. And I have called it out a couple of times this season, but Roberts has been so hit and miss this season. But when it came to the playoffs, he stepped up. And he needs to be called out and celebrated for that.
I'm going to disagree to an extent, mate.
Go on, then.
And this is going to come as no fucking shock to you lot, but those two Coventry games, Roberts was not good. Not good. He played pretty terrible in the first game. And I remember having a conversation with one of his, and I was like, he cannot start him in the next game. He cannot do it again. And he did.
Well,
he was equally as poo.
Yeah, but
I know I'm jumping ahead of myself here. He did make amends for that in the follow-up playoff final.
He was injured as well.
Yeah, he had a tough
problem. He's been injured for 2 years.
he'd been injured like in the playoffs and league, not the final playoff game. But he's there for balance, and he started Mundell. So, I don't think Roberts is the future. I think we all agree that he's a journeyman. He's played well in fits and starts, and he's had some good moments. Obviously, the assist against Sheffield, and then a couple of seasons ago, the goal against QPR. So, he's been a good servant of the club. But, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we'll talk about areas to improve and who we should and who we shouldn't get, or who we'd like to see later on. But, overall, I think Roberts has been a good servant of the club, so that's off to him.
Yeah, I would say so.
Before I forget, Rudini for Coventry was mentioned by Bong, so I will forget it, but we'll jump back into it when we're talking about player swaps.
No problem.
Go on, Michael.
Three and a half million. other yeah. Esselin.
With the point about Roberts, yeah. I disagree when it was said that he was poor. But I didn't think he was poor in the first leg from a defensive point of view. I thought he was outstanding. If you're talking from an attacking perspective, yes, I don't think he offered that much. I will agree that I think in the second leg, not for a want of trying, but in the second leg, I thought he was miles off it. In the second leg, I thought he was the one who was trying to get us up the pitch, but kept on losing the ball in key moments and kept on trying to put, and it kept on leading to us being pushed onto the back foot again. And I think, but in fairness to Roberts, what you've got to say is that if he's playing with a massive calf problem over the two games, then it was a big call by Labrice not to start him in the final. Because obviously, as Anne said, like, Labrice views Roberts as so balanced to the way that his system works and the way that, and even just having the triangle with you, Human, Reagan, like the understanding they've got with each other, it's maybe not quite as much as what you have with Ahmad, but they've got enough of an understanding for you to see it when it's on the pitch. Whereas in the final, I thought when Roberts came on against Sheffield United, not to jump too far ahead again, but I thought he changed the game. I thought he was one of the
biggest reasons. I think everyone's in agreement with that. But
yeah, I think in the final, he was one of the biggest reasons that.
Yeah. About him being good defensively but poor offensively.
Yeah,
I mean, not to quote Roy Keane, like, but that's his job.
That's his job. Yeah.
Well, you just have quoted
Roy Keane. It is. Doesn't mean you can't appreciate it though.
Yeah, beautiful. Lee.
I do take the point.
Lee is very on Andy's camp here. Roberts has passed. Pass it and lacks the quality for our next chapter.
Yeah, that was Lee. I always knew he was a solid bloke.
I mean, to be fair, me and Alan said it, I've said it, you know, I think we all know that Robert is probably not going to be a starter in the Premier League. Let's be real, right? He's probably not going to start. Like,
yeah, okay.
I just don't see how he can justify it. If he's starting day one, I just don't see how he can justify it based on his performance over the course of the last two seasons. I'm not but just talking about the last game. I'm talking about the last two seasons.
Even if we'd been still been in the Championship, I probably would have wanted an upgrade on him anyway.
I think agreed. If he hadn't have gone 100%.
Up, yeah, he's someone who I think in the Championship, if we had stayed down, I think he would have been a very handy squad player to come off the bench. I think there's actually a role for Roberts there. But the Premier League's such a big jump. I just don't think he would. I really like Roberts, but you've got to be ruthless, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that.
Of course you have.
I don't think Roberts will cut it at Prem level. At least, certainly not starting anyway. For me.
But you know, everyone's got the players that they dislike, or they sort of like fixed bayonets on. If you like, throughout the season, you see something and you don't like it, and then. It just snowballs, you know. I mean, I'll eat a concrete mixer full of humble pie, you know, because Patlow has been mine this season.
Yeah.
But obviously, Patlow was instrumental in us winning the playoff final. You know, Patlow's had moments where you've gone, fucking hell. Obviously, the cross, who was it against?
Where he flat Leeds.
And went in.
Leeds, maybe.
It wasn't Leeds.
Was it the whole 1-0 that you're talking about? Well, they did.
Was it not Millwall?
No, it might have been Hull near post where Roberts was in front of him.
Mm.
I can't remember. Anyway,
get your point.
The point is, he's made mistakes. He's hasn't, you know, done what you want to do with like dominating the box and in distribution. But he's obviously had his best game in the fucking playoff final. So I will eat that fucking humble pie. But everyone's got players that, you know, they watch throughout the season and think, no, we could do better. But that's just being a supporter, isn't it?
But I think the only players that jumped to mind for me, and I don't think it's really that controversial either, Samed came on, did nothing.
Died. Crap.
That was my...
Uber crap.
And Pevedo.
Enigma.
And Pevedo. Like, I can't see being long-term options for the club. Obviously, Samet's gone back already, but
Pevedo... Samet's gone back, and he's gone.
Pevedo, I can't see being a Premier League
player. We're not going to take up the option for Samet, are we? No, I think we're probably going to end up just saying, you know, just thanks for the 30 minutes at Middlesbrough, but we'll cut tie and leave it there.
Exactly. That bit was
I'd rather play anybody else in the world rather than play Samet.
But
he played probably a bit more than that, but I think it's the only time I remember him playing well, to be fair. And even I'm someone who things players get written off. Came on, but even Armstrong,
I wouldn't even say well. I would just say average. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was consistently below average, and in the middle of the game, he was average. Like, I didn't think
he played well. Yeah, I can see what you mean. I think he was a big part in sort of breaking up their play, and a big reason why we won that game. If I'm honest, that's the only game I can think of. That's the only game
He was here for 5 months, and we're singing his praise because he did a good job in 20 minutes.
For a, you know,
come on now.
Yeah, to be fair, look, that's the only game I can think of where I thought he contributed anything significant. Whereas I feel like the other ones,
he might have been one of those where he's a big sort of dressing room character. Do you know what I mean? Maybe. He might have been one of them. I'm not sure whether I believe that or not.
I don't think
but...
we're going to take up our option. I don't think we'll take up our option to sign him permanently.
No.
Actually, no, there isn't an option, is there? Just straight loan.
It was just straight loan. But Matt, again, back to that point, though, like, those two players for me are the only ones I'm like, I really couldn't care less if we'd never see them in a Sunderland shirt again. Where I think we're harsh and looking at the players that we need to improve upon, but I like every one of them, is the defensive line. I like Hume, I like Ballard, I like O'Neill, I like Serkin. That back line for me just makes sense
in the
championship.
Right, this links to what Smithy was saying about the back line. It also links to what we're talking about playoff, right? Here's some facts, right? Hard Leo Kjelde back, right? First of all, he's class, right? Secondly,
that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. I thought when
Hjelde came on, right, in both the Coventry and the Sheffield United games, right, after he came on, there was never another shot on target by the opposing team.
Why? Because he went to a back five.
Well, maybe that was the case, but the fact that he came on and there was no more shots on target, right?
I'm not having that team. Like a force field. Jimmy, no way.
How many minutes did you clear in that time?
Four. Right, I can't give you the exact minutes, right? But what I can say is there was no more shots on target.
Just let's rewind a second. You just said that he came on in the Coventry and the Sheffield United games, right? Okay. You might be right. Right, I can't remember him ever touching the ball in either of those games. So I can't remember winning the big header.
He won a header in the playoff final. Remember, he did win a header.
Okay, so he's might have won one header. David, come on now.
There was no more goal drama because there was no more shot after he came on.
What you're saying, he's like a talisman. Is that what you're saying, Davey?
I'm saying he's the future.
Are inferring some nonsense.
He talked about the Coventry game as well when he came on, like in the was it the 94th minute.
He ran in the box and then he held Dan Ballard.
I was going to say, Coventry second leg, he came on 121st minute. He distracted someone with a run so Ballard could have the space to jump and do his deck chair impression and then scored.
Yeah,
that's his contribution, Leo Young.
Come on, man.
Yeah, Matt, listen, I'm telling you, don't be surprised if he's starting next year.
He better not be.
What did Elon Musk say yesterday? Mark this tweet or whatever he said. But wait, mark my words, mate. Yelled at the start next season.
No chance.
He won't. He didn't. Right.
I bet you 20 quid he doesn't start.
I bet you 50 quid. I put it on the line now. Yelled will be nowhere near the starting 11.
Right. I don't think he'll be anywhere near the squad. I think he'll get loaned out, personally.
Instead of talking about like negative things about players, let's talk about
So
let's be positive.
This is what I wanted to jump back to. Like, we were talking about the Coventry game and we've talked about the players who maybe weren't so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was one definite standout man on the match in both games.
Ballard.
Dan Ballard.
Ballard, obviously. And it was a big call from the Brie to bring him back, by the way, to drop Meffham. That's a massive call.
I felt a little bit for Meffham because he's been very good all season. Like, to not start the critical games, you know, the real serious fucking big deal games. I bet he was gutted when he found out he wasn't started. But saying that, it was obviously the right call. You know, Ballard was immense in both games.
I don't think Meffham had been great in the last few games in the run-up to the playoffs, mind. Most of the season, he'd been brilliant.
I mean, none of our players were good in the run-up.
Obviously. But I mean, like, obviously...
You can slice out those five games.
Holiday, didn't they? To be fair, I more mean, like, for the last month and a half before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, you could say, is pretty much since we knew it was going to be playoffs, pretty much. Like, the minute that top two faded away and we weren't going to get anywhere near that in the end. But to be fair, to from Meffin's point of view, I'll praise him a little bit here because he came on after, what was it, 7 minutes that Luke O'Neill got injured in the final?
Yeah, well, technically it's 1 minute of gameplay.
1 minute.
I know what you mean. I suppose the point is that, you know, he managed to come on and get his head space to the point where he knew he was now starting and struggled initially, but I thought second half in particular was really, I mean, everyone was good second half, really. Yeah. But like, I'm just thinking Meffham and Ballard in particular. Once Lebrice made that little switch to, was it Ballard on the left hand? Was it left or right? I can't remember which side it was they switched to.
Ballard was right, yeah.
One left, Ballard right side, centre back, and Meffham left. But
yeah.
But to be fair, you know, back to the point though, yeah. I can't remember who it was that said it, but yeah, it was a massive call to drop Meffham. Yeah. But it's funny because with Meffham's performance this whole season, I'd completely forgotten how good Ballard is. Like, I knew he was good, but I couldn't remember, I'd forgotten how good he was.
I think if he did, if he's injury free, he'd have been player of the season.
Yeah, this is exactly it. Ballard's problem is he misses like a good chunk of every season I can think of. Like, if he can keep fit, he's going to be unbelievable.
To be fair, he played most of them. We try to forget last season, obviously, as in a year ago, 23-24, but he played like 40 games of the second season in the Championship. So the season he plays most games is when we finished 16th. So maybe Ballard was the problem.
We all know who the problem was, but we're not allowed to say his name.
Our problem wasn't the players at all. Let's point at the parent.
Yeah. Anthony, I'm just saying, when Ballard misses most of the season, we finish in the playoffs twice.
This is David's like tedious link to Hill to being the fucking main man. This is the same sort of twisted logic.
I think fucking Ballard could step up in the Premier League. I feel like he's got good feet for a big lad. He's not scared. He fucking, you know, he puts his body
puts his head on everything, man.
He don't care. Of course he has. But we'll talk about in and out in a bit, like, but a new realistically we you know, want to replace. Like, I know Meffham's gone back. And I know everyone loves 09 and he's fucking Mr. Sunderland, I get it. But I just can't see him playing centre-half in the Premier League. I just cannot see it. He might probably prove us wrong, but I don't know. I just, someone's telling me like, no, we need another fucking centre-half, another big lad Ballard in that back line.
The thing that concerns me with 09 is one thing, VAR. I think VAR would have his light.
Yeah. I would say that going to the final. If Luke and I gets like cornered on the corner.
You'll like this, Anth. I joked to Paul in the ground and I went, well, because O'Neill's gone off now, he can't WWE someone to the floor and give a penalty away. So we might actually have a better chance of winning the game now because VAR won't give something against
him. He does have that in his locker. Just
yank somebody's shirt.
Just a rush of blood to the head. And who was it
he's forgetting he's playing football, Alan, and just tries to wrestle someone to the ground. The problem is, if he does that in the Premier League, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 10 penalties against him next season.
Do you know when he kissed the player? When he kissed the player, if would VAR class that as assault? Would VAR class that as assault?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it. Right, listen, Sunderland have had one game under VAR it successfully ruled out a goal against us. So, in that respect, VAR's fucking mint. But in every other game I've ever seen it, it's been atrocious.
Oh my God. I actually kind of hope 09 like comes on off the bench or something next season, kisses a player, and then VAR going to go, is this a red card? Or do we give a yellow? Do we punish him at all for it? We've not seen this before, lads. What do we do here?
Would we class it like as a Suarez bite?
It's probably...
say it's on the Suarez menu.
It's probably more sexual assault.
Yeah, which is assault.
The casserole.
Oh, God.
Right, I want to quickly...
We're off track, lads.
Well, I've got to catch up because we've got Black Catch International Fans Podcast. Lee, welcome along, mate. He was comparing Roberts also plays better when he has a creative player in the advanced midfield role, such as Pritchard and Amat. Rig and Job haven't offered that to him, so that's a little bit of a callback to Roberts. So maybe if we do have more of a Lefay in the middle, Roberts next season might come on quite well. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, good point again by Lee there. Well done, mate.
That's different Lee.
It's all Lees are just full of football knowledge.
Pure gems.
Should we all just change our name to Lee?
What about Lee?
Lee Fee.
Leafy, yeah, he's on. Lee Catamol, yeah.
Leafy Catamol.
Lee Mack. I was thinking Lee Mack, but I don't know whether you know.
Lee Mack used to play for Wigan, didn't he, or something like that in his youth.
I just thought it was a cool.
So, yeah.
But see, to be fair, everyone has got Lee's, but everyone has got
it's raining outside, lads. Get the back.
Yeah. I bet everyone's got Lee in their name. It's like got ball knowledge. Leo Yelda.
Oh, that's bad.
I like it.
I told you. I'm joke centric. I'm terrible, man.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's get back into the tangent. The VAR, the Sheffield United game.
Yeah.
How do we class that as other than our classic side of two halves? We play shit. Well, I mean, we do play shit. And it has to be said that the second Sheffield United goal, the player taking the corner and the player shooting, absolutely fine. I'd be begrudging because they'd done everything perfectly right. It was two of their teammates in front of the goalkeeper that led us off. Like, if that was in the Championship during a league game, that goal would have stood and the game would have been done and dusted.
Yeah.
Like, there's no two ways about it. VAR saved us in the situation. It was the right call. It was 100% the right call. But the referees in this league are not good enough to pull that in the live moment, which is why VAR needed to come in. So,
what I would say, a few things, a few points there, mate.
Go on.
One, like I said just now, VAR, it did its job. He was offside. Mm-hmm. How many days? We benefited. I'm sure in next season, we're not going to benefit. I'm sure we'll be like, VAR is fucking always against blah, blah, blah. Two, I don't necessarily think it was a game of two halves. I think they started out pretty well the first 25, 30 minutes, and then we got much better thereafter, up to the point where probably they faded out the game altogether by the time, 75, 80 minutes. Three, I actually thought the referee wasn't too bad. Like, I thought the referee was all right in the playoff final.
He was. But, I mean, across this league, that's what I'm saying, across this season, we've won games and I've been bitching about the referee being absolutely abysmal.
This is not just unique to Sunderland. This is across the whole fucking league, isn't it?
Yeah.
The EFL in general.
What you made before about Roberts, when you said that Roberts, someone's consistently below average, and then they're average. That's what it felt like with the referees for me in the final. Referee was average in the final, but the general standard is below average for referees in this league.
They were all like, he was class. Yeah, he did all right. Yeah, I didn't say
he was class. I just thought he did his job. He did his job. That's his job.
if you look to one of the decisions, like, you know, throughout the game, there was one where Roberts went through and the fucking line was flagged. And the referee went, no.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I was like, it was like, so you're not even taking advice of, you know, a fellow referee. You just went, no, mate, you're wrong. When he was closer, and I was like, eh? You know, that's just been like that all season.
Yeah, well, to be fair, to what Ant was saying, though, I think that if there wasn't VAR in the game, would we be fuming if that goal stood? As in, say there's no VAR, and then we point out, hang on, a couple of lads are in an offside position impeding Patwell's vision, and the goal stands. We'd probably be mourning about it, to be fair, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I'd put the air were worth the money until that point, though. Yeah. The air were, you know, when that went in and I was stood next to Crouching, I was like, this is the fucking end, you know. Then obviously the lifeline, which I think changed the total dynamic of the game, you know. I think mentally, as well.
I think it was very deflating after that. I think it looked like that. To me, that sapped the energy out of Sheffield United. I think that gave us a bit of a, not a kick up the backside, but gave us a bit more of a lift. And I think it definitely gave us
a boost. What I'd equate it to is, you know, like if a team's on top and they get a penalty and then they miss the penalty, all of a sudden,
yeah,
like the whole thing swings the other way. It's similar to that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a mental sort of game, isn't it? Yeah, you know, and I think for Sheffield United, like for them, the game was kind of, well, they were the favourites, weren't they? They were the ones who were parachute payment team, had a squad that cost a lot more than ours to assemble. Mm. That was the pressure was on them to win it, and obviously you then get a second goal and it's disallowed. And I think from that point, I think Sheffield United were really good. They were all right up until that point. But I think after that point, I think we were gradually much better. And apart from the VAR goal, apart from the Andre Brooks one-on-one chance, I can't remember anything they did from an offensive perspective.
They didn't do anything else. I just think, to add to that point, I know it's really, you're going to jump over there, mate.
No, so the sofa score thing that I know you've brought up before in the previous videos and stuff like that, that does show like Sunderland dominated. Like the second half, other than like a 5-minute spell, Sunderland were completely we didn't start well. I think that's how that looks.
I'm just gonna shout out another YouTuber who's a Sunderland fan who did a really good
Michael like,
deconstruction of the game. Well, Michael.
Can I guess who you're going to say?
It's Alt Ending.
Yes, he's brilliant. He's really good.
If you watch Alt Ending, right, he sits down and he looks at the gameplay, talks about it's a really good, like, you know, a review
it's a
of the game.
Sort of video, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's excellent. Like, I like him a lot.
I agree. Same here. I think he's really underrated.
Yeah, as Smudges as well. He's underrated.
Yeah.
I think I'm appropriately rated.
Like and subscribe.
Right, good, good.
But I tell you what it's going to be like. It's going to be like for YouTubers now, like, obviously, Michael and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going into the Premier League, you're probably going to get more views. I'd imagine you will get more views. And it's probably going to get competitive. Not that it isn't, you know. There's a lot of Sunderland YouTubers, like, but I just feel like, you know, that there'll be an influx of more.
Yeah,
it's a bigger stage, isn't it?
I'm just looking forward to like the likes of Fogden coming across, going, right, guys, it's the biggest game in the league. Fuck off!
I don't know who he is.
Fuck me! Fuck you! Honestly, I hate YouTuber voice. Just talk like we're talking to each other.
Maybe she's doing something wrong.
I don't need to advertise to 12-year-olds. I want to talk to other adults who like this club.
Sorry to the
12-year-olds that actually follow this channel, but like, it's a more mature audience. Here.
Sorry to the sensible 12-year-olds out there. I just don't like a lot of your age gap. To be fair, do you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm not looking forward to, though. The mags that are going to be obsessed every time we lose a game, going, ha ha, someone's going back down to the championship, I'm like, but you're not obsessed. Well done.
No.
Mm.
And that's the thing for next season. For me, it's survival and non-embarrassment in the derbies. Like, I'll take 17th and 2-0s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just think... it's going to be... And, you know, people who gone... Like, obviously, I'm going to go and Michael and Paul are going to go and Crouch in that. It's going to be a hard season. Yeah, it is. I would just... Hopefully there's like little bits of, you know, enjoyment in it. But I don't know. I'm sort of looking forward to it, but I'm not at the same time.
I'm more so looking forward to it just for the fact that it's going to be... I know that if we keep the current squad, I think we are going to massively struggle. But I think the recruitment window this summer will bring in some huge names. There'll be a lot of expectation on it. Yeah. But again, I'll delve more back into what we've done this year and where we've got the biggest issues. Defensively, yeah. And a squad depth. When we started to get injured, we had 11 players at one point that were injured and couldn't be selected. And when we had that era, just before Christmas, it was a slog. Like was in November, we barely picked up 4 or 5 points. It was
like five, awful. Something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awful.
I hear what you're saying there, Smithy, but you've got to remember we had a very good start this season.
Oh, yeah.
I think comparing the first 2 months to that era that you're talking about there, where we had a lot of injuries, it's quite harsh, you know what I mean? Like it's not a true reflection.
No, it's not a true reflection, but I'm thinking if we are relying on the likes of Jones coming in to like step out of the academy and come straight into the starting lineup or even on the reserves bench, we've not got any options. We didn't have any options.
The options are on loan. Like okay. I can probably think of a full team of players that are on loan or not in the squad. What's the keeper called? Blondie. Okay. Right, yeah. Blondie.
No echo.
Pembele right back. Triantis on loan to fucking Hibs, centre back.
Huggins, who's missed the season.
Huggs, yeah. He held it at the left back. Jones, Etwar, Alexic in the middle, Barr, Brewson, Hemia. I mean, there's 11 players. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can say that we haven't got depth. I just think we can say that we haven't got good depth.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's obvious, isn't it? It's.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but they're probably not good enough.
It's a conundrum Speakman's going to have to fucking solve. And I can't doubt him because we're now in the Premier League. He's fucking a lot. He's a bit of a gambler and he's a bit of a moneyball type person. Mm. And we've discussed this before, but he gets it right the majority of time. You know what I mean? He'll pick players in. If obviously Dewey is a prime example of that, he's picked him. He didn't work out. He's going to go. So if Speakman, you know, I can step up to Premier League and I'm confident we can do something in the transfer market to make us look like a team that could survive, you know what I mean?
While we're on Speakman, let me go with this while I remember it, while we're on Speakman. So he took over, the squad really, 2020, right? Mm-hmm. When League One, actually I'm going to bring this up because I can't remember the exact figures, right? Okay, here we go, right? Our transfer market value of the squad in 2020 was 11.5 million, right? That's the whole squad.
That's one player now, right?
2025, right? Our squad worth according to transfer market is now 172.5 million quid, right? And the net spend in those 5 years is -1 million quid. I don't see how we can say anything but Speakman has done an absolute incredible job. Incredible.
Stuart Harvey in there as well. I think he deserves a
yeah.
I think off the bat of what you said there, David, I completely agree with you. Yeah, I don't think we can point any fingers at Speakman. I think we got frustrated maybe for example last year where things looked like they were going off the rails. There was a few incidents where
I'm going to summarise that for people who haven't.
Speakman out. I took a photo of it. I've seen it on my memories. Speakman out stickers. This time last year.
So it was because it was the era of getting rid of Mowbray, appointing Morley, a really poor recruitment in that January transfer window, and then just blind faith allowing the Mags to take over the entire half of the stadium. That four-month spell, was the club was ran like a joke. And I like 4 months is a long time, and it's a lot of compounding moments to go just like,
there were things there that were definitely worth criticism. I think the Mags thing wouldn't have been down to Speakman. That would have been down to off the pitch.
I hear what you're saying, but the fans are only pointing at one bloke, aren't they? It doesn't matter who it is. They're all eventually, you know, Speakman is their gaffer. He is the top dog.
Mm-hmm. No, but well, the top dog's KLD, though. He's the owner. So Speakman shouldn't have got the flag for that. That came from the very top, that decision.
I think we didn't understand, especially that I come back to that Mag sort of like game.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't Speakman got it because we didn't understand who was running the show, that sort of like the corporate bit. We didn't know, you know. And then we found out
this
names
is my point exactly. Like the there's only one visible
names.
Face.
Like, yeah,
he was always going to get the flack. Like, it doesn't matter who made the
Maybe
decision.
So, but
he was going to be the one who it fell on his head.
No, but this
so,
did
but
the
I thought it was fairly obvious. Speakman didn't have anything to do with off the pitch stuff.
I can't remember his name.
It was Steve Davis and Allen.
That was it.
Yeah,
I worked on
who was a Mag? Who was a Mag? Who was a Mag as well?
Yeah.
Was he a Mag?
He was a Mag.
Yeah. No, there were things that Speakman did that were definitely questionable, though. Like the Beal appointment is largely on him. Sorry, I've not spoken his name. I've cursed this video, but like you know.
Oh
yeah, absolutely. I've sent it to the doldrums now. That was on, like, Speakman, I think, probably showed a bit of arrogance with that appointment in thinking that it was going to be good. And this is coming from someone who, as you all probably know, I've been defending Speakman quite heavily over the last couple of seasons, but it hasn't been perfect, to be fair. Like, it has been mistakes, but the large majority of what he and Harvey have done for me have been unquestionably very good. Like, it's been... Mm. I mean, just here's one that'll depress you. Here's something that'll depress you even more. You know, when he took charge, I think it was the 4th of December 2020, because I looked it up, and then we played Wigan at home in the lockdown season. You just want to hear what the team was that day?
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Here's a bigger question. How many of the players are still
Flanagan,
in the squad?
Flanagan was one of them.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, definitely
in there. I would say two. Good to guess. Two is still playing for us.
09.
09 and
09 will be in.
I will spoil it for you. As 09's not in the squad, which surprised me. Hang on.
Who else is it? Hang on. Before you tell us, let's just have a quick ponder. Who might be in that squad? Will Greig,
Charlie White,
McGeady,
Greig and White.
Sorry for anyone Gooch. Who's wanting PTS. Sorry for anyone. No, Gooch didn't. I don't think Gooch played.
So,
no,
oh, good. Who's the other Aiden? O'Brien.
O'Brien.
McGeoch.
With McGeoch playing.
McLaughlin as well.
We had two McLaughlins, didn't we? We had a centre-half McLaughlin and we had a keeper McLaughlin.
Connor.
Which McLaughlin are you going with here?
Connor.
Yes. Right, sorry to anyone who's going to get PTSD after hearing this team, but like, go Lee on. Burge, Connor McLaughlin, Bailey Wright, Tom Flanagan, Denver Hume, Josh Scowen, Grant Ledbetter, Max Power, Chris Maguire, Will Grigg, Aidan McGeady.
So the answer was zero.
The bench as well.
None of them players still play for us.
Pretty much none of them. And then none of the bench do either. It's Elliot Embleton, Danny Graham, Jack Diamond, Callum McCarthy.
Danny Graham,
Jesus.
Dobson, yeah, George Dobson, Dion Sanderson, and Remy Matthews.
I think your point is, when KLD took over, we've done a complete 180. Like, the squad looks completely different. The trajectory is... the opposite direction.
I've heard people use the argument that the only way realistically was up, well, Bolton Wanderers would prove differently. And I know our situation wasn't as bad as theirs for context, but like, it can still get worse. But realistically, even though the trajectory was up, you've had to go up. And then obviously their first full season got promoted from League One. Then you've had to compete against parachute payment championship clubs, who I think it's clear by now have a massive financial advantage over pretty much everyone else in the fucking league. Mm. It's very, very difficult to sort of compete against.
Just against on that point, you've got this year, you've got Wrexham and Birmingham, probably the clubs outside of those parachute clubs that'll have the most money to spend.
Which are promoted clubs as well.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to be anywhere near the three that come down.
Ipswich, Leicester, Southampton, Sheffield United.
Yeah, they'll all be nowhere near.
I don't know. I feel like it'd be a tougher championship. Would be tougher than this year just gone. I think next year championship would be, you know.
Oh,
I think we've got out at the right time.
Birmingham and Wrexham aren't in the, well, they might screw at the playoffs if they invest really well.
Yeah,
but they're certainly not going for all matches.
They're going to throw money at it. Of course they are.
But I was going to say no. I think the point you're making, I'm guessing the point you made is that they're going to be the best set of promoted sides from League One for a few years now. Really, what were the teams that came up a year ago, like Portsmouth, Derby, and Oxford? Birmingham and Wrexham are going to have to be more ambitious than them three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
I'll just say it's done quickly. Like, and that's also not including Middlesbrough, who just got rid of Carrick, Norwich, who'll be looking to improve, Coventry as well, West Brom. You've got them four, Birmingham, Wrexham.
Yeah.
Sorry?
And Wrexham.
and Postecoglou is available.
The side tangent I want to make, like, in terms of teams going up and down and side business. Liam Delap to Chelsea is a huge bit of business from Ipswich. Ipswich getting him from Stoke and then selling him to Chelsea.
What's he on a fucking 20-year contract?
I have no idea. That is a great bit of business.
They must be skating on the edge of fucking FFP then.
£30 million for Delap, didn't they?
But that's what they're going to sell on the deal. They're giving them
that's like 30 minutes, nothing.
You know, but they're getting out of this is what they're doing. It's Man U is doing it as well. They're giving them a fucking extra long contract so that it goes over a time period so they get out of the FFP, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
It's like
I mean, the transfer spread over more years.
Yeah, they spread it over years.
Yeah.
And part of me is thinking, especially Man U, because what they got is it in Mbeumo they've signed in Acuna from Wolves.
I don't think they signed anyone yet, but those are on the...
Kuna's definitely gone. Him. Yeah.
I hope they implode because, you know, it's... they're flinging money and money and money and, I just hope... Like, obviously, they played shit last year, Man U. I just hope they're down there again, you know? I don't want us to go down the same route. We've been there, we're short, you know what I mean, chucking money at shit and getting it wrong. Let's Speakman and the backroom and the board and KLDD what they can. You know what I mean? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I just don't want to chuck money at it.
Yep.
I like what you're saying, though, because basically you want Man United to implode, so we only have to finish above Leeds and Burnley to stay up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But it's just egging the face in it. Like you can't just buy yourself out of it, you know. The issue with, and I
don't disagree with your approach, especially when you look at it like fiscally. When you look at the fucking digits, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But look at the past 2 years, all right. But all teams that have gone up have gone back down, and even if you look at the bigger frame before that. The only team that has been anywhere near successful that have come up from the championship recently is Forest. And what did they do in the season that got promoted? They fucking spent like the money was going out of fashion. They bought bought 20 players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They spent like over 100 million comfortable, 20 plus players. And everyone took the piss out of them, right? But they're the only team who've established themselves in the Premier League in the past 3-4 seasons. Maybe even longer.
We're not going to do that.
I agree with you. I don't think we're going to do that. But I think if you want to really like be successful, Forest are the only team who've done that recently, and they spent a fucking fortune.
Well,
I think Survivor is successful.
Yeah, that is that's my measurement as well.
The team before them
to do it, and I think they're starting to struggle now, is Wolves. The
Yeah.
Basically, let's just hire a manager from a certain country. Maybe instead of Portugal, we do it with France, and we just get an entirely one language based club. Have 20 French players and go from there. maybe that might be the model. Pick out from where you know is successful. Yeah, pick the players you know want a Premier League move from that country, and go from there. Because I think we've done that quite successfully with some of their hires across France.
Question. When did Wolves go up?
Six seasons ago. The season we went down.
2018. Okay.
The season we went down the League One, they won the league and went up.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, so we're talking 6-7 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's probably shifted over the course of the last 5-6 years dramatically, as in the gulf between the top 15 teams in the country and everyone else.
Yeah, but it's going to eat itself eventually. You know what I mean? We just want to be there, like I said, take 17th and then try and build from there. Do you know what I mean? But I just don't want to see us fucking spunk money on a player that'll, you know, like Rodwell or something.
I think
that,
you know,
you know what I mean?
Chopwell.
Yeah, someone who comes with a big reputation, supposedly is supposed to be, you know, a great player, and ends up being a fucking donkey. You know, let's just let the club go the way they're going, and hopefully we get a couple of diamonds in the rough.
Can I just say that on that one, with Jack Rodwell and maybe a couple of other players that we've had, can we not do any dealings with players from Manchester City? Because they're just, every time we've had somebody from there, it's been dodgy.
I've heard Victor Bob's been mentioned, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Adam Johnson was all right, wasn't he?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was thinking, Bob. Yeah.
Police are coming around your house.
Just swiftly, I'll tell you what.
You didn't score against the bag, though, did they?
I understand the point that was made before. You have to spend shit ton to be successful, but I suppose think from Forest's point of view, what was it, 100 to 150 million or whatever it was they spent across like 20 signings?
It was a lot. It was a lot of money.
Oh no, it was absolutely. The problem they would have had is what if they'd got relegated? Now, I know they didn't. So obviously
that's the risk.
It's irrelevant because they obviously stayed up. But like, they obviously, the signings were obviously good enough to keep them up. But like, if you spunk that money and you go down, you're fucked. It's a risk
either way. You either spend a load of money.
Yeah,
you've got to find that golden zone in the middle where you've spent enough money to invest in the squad, you haven't overspent, you've been successful enough on the pitch to not get relegated. And the past 2 years, nobody's done it.
Well, that's the thing, you've got to essentially nail your signings, haven't you?
Well, let's juggle that then. Let's flip it around and make the perfect example. Southampton spunking money at Jack Ross.
Ross Stewart.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking Ross Stewart scored last day of the season. Don't you get his name out of your mouth, mate.
He's had injuries. Luckily, we had a good deal with him. We got rid of him and he's fucking injured. But
oh, yeah. What was it?
I quite liked him.
He was great.
He's fantastic for us. Don't get me wrong, like Loch Ness Drogba, but I get it all. But like, when they made that move, they were gambling on an injured player. We got 10 million. Like you said, we were net spend negative one off that one sale. So I think we flogged a dead horse essentially with that sale, and it helped us.
I think that's harsh, mate. A dead horse is harsh, mate. That's great.
Dead horse is factual. Like, we didn't, they gambled on him and it didn't pan out. We would have had to gamble and deal with that injury if we didn't sell him, but they wanted that chance. And yeah, 10 million,
he was
10 million
for us. I wish him well. He'll probably do good in the championship next year.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think he's day, is he back from injury?
He scored the last day of the season, mate.
Well, scored against Arsenal the last game.
I need to watch
finally scored.
We're talking about transfer. Go on.
Yeah, you know, he's done excellently for himself. To be fair, he's got a contract that's probably set him up life now, really. Like as in realistically set him up for life after football. But
yeah.
I think if you look at like Southampton at that point when they signed him, they were a parachute club. They could afford to take that risk. They could afford to go, oh, it's 10 million. We got 100 or so million in player sales anyway, plus parachute payments. Whereas this is why, even for me, even if you go down next season, which a lot of people expect, you're going down financially in a much better position than what you would have been this season. Now, obviously, if you go and spunk money and get it wrong, then that that makes it a lot harder. But for me, this is where I'm thinking, with Speakman and with Harvey, this is the first summer I think that they've had a proper money to work with because of the fact it's in the Premier League.
But as let's talk about...
Do you think that they're going to take the reins off? Or do you think that they're going to...
Not for the first season. Not for the first season. Not until a guaranteed season two in the Premier League.
I know
we're transitioning into transfers here.
I think whatever big signing we make will be from the European leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Job.
I mean, that's where I was going with this, right? So there's going to be a hole to fill in the centre of the park, unless we get extremely lucky.
Yeah.
And we're going to have somebody.
Is it 25 million or 40 million euros? Is it 25 million quid?
I don't know. I don't know what the money is. I hope it's more than we got for fucking Jack Clark. I'll tell you that.
15.
Well, you've got to offset. You've got to offset the fucking Enzola fee, which is
Enzola.
Obviously, 10 million for Watson. So how much is the fee for Lafay?
It was 15. Jesus, it was 15 for Clark.
Well, he's our all time.
He's already covered.
Yeah, he's our all time highest transfer now.
Well, so he's beaten Dong.
Dong is dropped down to second place. It's 20 odd million, isn't it?
It's 22.5.
20 odd million, whatever.
22.5, I think. But
so the Watson money and the Job money will cover that.
So
yeah, plus change.
One of the comments that was made earlier on, though, about Liam Delap, 30 million, Chelsea, that's nothing. And we're talking about our best, highest ever record signing is 22 and a half with Lafay. Just shows you how much of a gap we've been climbing up.
Again, I'm just going to come back to how the Premier League's changed since we were last in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, transfer fees have gone silly, mate. Like, especially Chelsea, but Man City, Man United paying stupid money for fucking bang average players. This wasn't the case when we were last.
Like, I'll tell you what I remember.
Ndong, 14 million quid for Ndong isn't relative anymore. It's not. It's like a footnote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on, David. What are you saying?
Can you remember when Liverpool bought Andy Carroll for 35 million?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
It was the same transfer window as Jordan Henderson.
And I was sitting going, I cannot believe they've spent 35 million quid
on ponytail
on fucking Andy Carroll. And I was like, that is so much money. And now it's like, oh, 30 million quid. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Henderson, would you have him back?
Yeah.
For a season? Andy Carroll? No, Henderson. For a season.
Andy Carroll's playing in like the fucking Chinese league or something. He's playing for Bordeaux. Okay, let's have a look.
To answer your question on Henderson, yes,
I'd have him for one season just for stability.
Just for Bordeaux.
Didn't Keith Downey tweet that we weren't after Henderson?
Keith Downey's a fucking mag.
Keith Downey's a fraud.
Keith Mainly's obsessed with Newcastle United. I think I'm a bit like a...
He cried when Newcastle got took over. Keith Downey, you're fucking mag.
I think if you're looking at like social reporters, go with Fabrizio. That's probably your better...
I mean, that guy, every time I see his name pop up.
Yeah.
That guy. Mm. I'm like, yeah, this is legit now.
Yeah.
Well, he's mentioned a few transfer rumours, hasn't he?
Henderson. I'll take Henderson. Yeah, 100%. In fact, if we got to keep Job, which is a big if, and I'm talking like it's probably not going to happen.
The deal's done.
I would have Job and Henderson together. That would be the fucking dream for me, but it's probably not going to happen. I don't know whether the deal's done yet. I don't think anything's signed.
The deal's done.
It's a gentleman's agreement. That's all I've seen so far.
It's in a rotten.
Nothing's been agreed yet.
They don't want to pay the bio fee, do they?
Well, they have to. Sunderland. That's the whole fucking point. That's
the fucking contract. You either pay the bio fee or you fucking don't.
I'll go through the transfer rumours I've heard. Obviously, Victor Bob's one of them. Tommy Doyle, centre mid from Wolves. Is that right?
Yeah.
He's another one. Singar, centre half. I think is he Monaco? And one big lad who plays for fucking Millwall, centre half at the back.
Afet Tanganga.
Yeah. That's the one. The other ones I've heard. On a grapevine, on the internet, I should say.
I can see us going in for someone like Tanganga in case we get relegated and he's going to be good in the championship.
Did you see the apparent release clause that's in his contract? It's like less than £2 million, apparently.
Well, that's right up our street.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, brilliant. To be fair, but I mean, you look at the, and Tommy Doyle, apparently the fee was reported to be £3 million. But this is off the same... This is off the same publication that said we were going after Raphael Wicki last summer, I think. And obviously that wasn't ended up being true. So I'm a bit reluctant to believe that. But
there's going to be some rumours flying about, I guess.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's going to get silly season, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, here's a question. Because I know, Michael, you did a video on it earlier on in the January window. Would you grab somebody like Tom Cannon?
Nah.
Well, I probably wouldn't.
I don't think so.
Nah, no chance, mate. Nah. I think my end will cut it in the Premier League. I don't know about Wilson. I'm sort of on the fence with Wilson, but I definitely think my end has got quality.
Level. This might be a controversial opinion, but I don't think that we need to strengthen up front that much. I like both of our forwards.
I was just about to say roughly the same thing. I think we need a third if we want to play 4-4-2.
I would definitely have another one.
Jaden, what's his face from Liverpool? I've heard that's back on a card and all. I've heard a re-sign of the loan.
He was even worse than Samed. At least Samed played fucking 30 minutes.
But again, he's been injured and we don't know what he's like. You know what I mean? So,
you've got to trust. Why did we sign him injured?
Yes, we had this conversation, Davey. I know, we don't know. However, he's obviously a good player, or he's on Speakman's radar. So if he wants to re-sign him, he must have something about him.
Yeah.
He's probably getting signed to the Championship, sorry, I just made this point on Daniel.
No, it's been gone.
If we sign him to the Championship and he's played zero games, right, how can he then be a Premier League quality player? Just surely if Liverpool are trying to farm out the Championship to get experience and he's got none, how can he then have made the jump to the Premier League? Surely Liverpool are saying, well, you've played no fucking games. I have no development. You've been injured for 6 months. Surely they'd be looking to send him to another Championship club.
I think personally, maybe. Dan's, I would have gone for had we probably not got promoted. If we were still in the Championship, I might have been more tempted to go for him again. But again, obviously, I don't know what he's like because he's barely played. If you're going for a third up striker up front, the thing I would probably do is look at who's the best free agents available in that regard. So if you look at someone like... I know he's very old now, but Jamie Vardy, for example, Danny Welbeck, even Brighton, one of them two is probably ones I think you probably go for if you're going to go for a third one.
They're both very sensible options. I think if we signed one or both of those, it would be good business. Short-term deal, good business.
Vardy doesn't want to be playing in the Premier League at his age, man. He'll go and Wrexham.
That's a show.
Yeah, Hollywood Club. Big money.
Yeah.
Easier league.
Danny Welbeck
still does a job for Brighton, man. I'm telling you. He's still good. There was a point this season where he was a top scorer. He's a very good player. Still.
Good professional to have in the club, yeah. I guess, and all.
Mm-hmm. And he's a Macam at heart, in his own words.
If we get Welbeck and Henderson back, does that mean basically we're back to 2013?
Yeah,
we'll have Lamine Kone.
Rose.
Imagine
Rose.
Danny Rose.
Danny Rose.
We're back to 2013. Finished 17th in the Premier League, so yeah, I'll take that.
Survival.
There you go, survival. That's it.
Get Charlie White back as well. Why not?
And you ruined it.
Before we knock this on the head, where's the pre-season at?
I was going to say, I know we're definitely playing Gator because I've seen their posts saying we're playing them their second pre-season game. So Gator, the standard one, that is definitely on there.
Yeah,
I'd imagine it's the normal, we'll play Hartlepool at some point.
But... we're not playing Hartlepool.
We're not going to lose 5-0.
We've got South Shields and we've got a home friendly for a change as well.
So we are playing.
Who is it at home?
I've got the fixtures in front of me if you want to know them. The 12th of July, we play Gateshead on the 12:30, South Shields 4 o'clock. So it's obviously going to be rotating.
We did that last year. We did that. Yeah. That happened again.
We've done that the last couple of years, I think. And we've got a couple of games in Portugal. Is it Portugal?
Stadio Algarve.
This statement says TBC in terms of the opponent, so that's useless. And then you've got Hearts, and you've got Hull, and then you've got Real Betis at the Stadium of Light.
Real Betis, who were in the Europa League final.
They played Chelsea in the Conference League final.
Anthony plays for them. We were talking about Man United spunk the money away, weren't we? Is that where Anthony is now?
He is there, to be fair. He's done pretty well this season. Actually, watched that game, the Chelsea-Real Betis game, and Chelsea were fucking dreadful for 20 minutes.
What was the score?
Real Betis scored. And they won 5-1 or 4-1 or something like that, didn't they? Chelsea?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did.
Complete switcheroo, mate. I walked out to make me tea, put the kids to bed. When I came back, it was like complete 3-4-1 or something like that.
Yeah. So, does that mean apart from obviously the Champions League itself, every European trophy goes to an English club?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
The other two,
So is that six Champions League teams? Could that also be a benefit to us with
Champions League?
No. I mean, this season, for our chances of survival, the Champions League teams are going to be
more teams in our league have more games in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll take any small percentage, mate. I'll fucking take it.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. Would that be on the HITC 7's end of season reason Sunderland stayed up anymore?
So what you're saying is next season's chant is park the bus, park the bus, park the bus. Is that what's going to be our season?
Yeah. We'll go across the Reggie the Bridge.
I don't think we'll... I don't know.
If Reggie Le Bridge doesn't get the draw, I'll be buzzing with that. Reggie Le Bridge.
It's not getting called that.
Awfully. Look, it might surprise us. We might finish in the top six. Who knows?
Why don't we do a prediction about where we're going to finish to wrap it up?
All right. Yeah. I'm going to go last.
I'm going to go second last.
Is that you
now? Go on,
who's gone first?
Well, I'll go first. You're better off asking this after the window's shut, really. But right now, are we talking right now or what we think we'll do in the window?
Do right now.
I'll tell you, if we don't change our score, we make no signs, we'll finish 20th.
Okay, I'm going to call you. Right now, I think we finish 19th. I think we finish ahead of Burnley.
Okay.
But obviously nowhere near enough to stay up.
I'm going to go with 17th. By a hair. Pubic hair.
Love it.
I'm going 17th as well.
Okay.
All right, I'll say we're going to finish 13th.
Jesus, Davey.
Oh, that's optimistic.
Bald.
Was that 55 points, something like that? Jesus.
Nah, 55 points is European football now these days, man.
Really?
Yeah, that's a bold statement, Davey. I mean, we'll reassess them after the window, but...
Well, like I say, I think if we don't make any signings and we lose Job, it's going to be a really, really rough season. We'll probably finish last.
Yeah.
I'd like to think with some astute signings here and there and a bit of tactical nous from Labrie, we can finish 17th.
Not one of us has been brave.
And said, I was being brave.
He was in predicting 13th. I think that's pretty brave, to be fair.
No, I meant the other way around.
Are you going to say we're going to finish in Europe? Like,
no, I think I'm going to be really brave and say we're going to get relegated. I think I'm going to get relegated. that's the brave statement, saying it on the Sunday Channel. If we don't make any good signings, if we make our current models signings of trying to pick gems who might come through, which is, again, how we work and operate, I'm fine with that. I think we'll finish 18th, maybe 19th. But if we buy somebody like big and with that ambition, maybe we can finish 16th.
And I think the fixture list has got a lot to do with this as well, you know. Like, when that comes out, we'll be able to see where we can, you know, it's not like the championship where you fucking look every week and go, we can win this. If you play well, we can look at games again. If we plan well, we can get someone out of it. You know what I mean?
We'll probably look at it and go, December's going to be shit. March is going to be awful. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We didn't get that in the championship because we thought we were going to win every fucking game. But
we could look at it like, there's definitely buckets. Like, the top five or six teams would not going to beat them. The fucking, like, the likes of the promoter clubs, Spurs, fucking Everton, all those that kind of hang around that kind of area.
I don't feel like some of them are like, you know, look where Spurs and Man U finished. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Wolves, they weren't brilliant, you know what I mean? It's only because Southampton were terrible. And Ipswich, you know, had quite a good run at one point. You know, unfortunately, they couldn't, you know, do it. Who was the other side that went down? I can't remember.
Leicester.
Again, you know, they had fits and starts where they played all right.
And I'm fucking Ndidi from Leicester, like, just while we're on the
Schmeichel's still there.
Ndidi, mate, I'm telling you, he's a good player. Like, he's bounced around the Championship and the Prem.
I heard Drinkwater and Canardi is good. We can go for them. Oh, sorry, that was 2016.
Where's Mahrez? You remember when Mahrez played for Leicester?
Saudi. He's in Saudi.
Can we get him in?
He's in Saudi, mate. We can't afford his wages.
Just to go back, on that question, where I think someone will finish, I think it does require a lot more information on the transfer window. I think we'll go. Ask me again.
We'll have this conversation again in August,
yeah. and then I might revise that. But at the moment, I'm finished. I'm thinking 18th.
Right now, I think we go down.
Yeah.
Shall we reconvene before the Betis game or after the Betis game? What do you want to do?
Well, I'll be doing watch-alongs for every one of the pre-season games, so you can more than comfortably do that.
But
I think after the Betis game, what I'd like to do is, this season with the Fantasy Premier League, do a draft league. So you have you can only pick one player per round.
I did this a few years back, like, it's...
Something else I've got to think about.
it's a real doozy, like... We're trying to change the format, because there was a double winner last...
But also, it allows us to, like, completely ridicule anybody who picks a mag.
Listen, there's no fucking mags.
We're going to get Bowers and Paul in next year. In the
FPL.
Fantasy Football League, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I'd like
to do that.
I was going to say there's only one rule. There's only two rules. Number one rule:
No mags.
And number two rule: you got to have some sort of players in there as well.
You're cutting out a fifth of the league. You have to.
Oh, I see. Okay. So if I pick Leo Yelda, then that'll be all right.
If he gets a star,
guaranteed
he'll be the least. You know, when you're like, you're trying to fill in a spot on your defence, and you're, who's the fucking cheapest defender I could possibly get Fucking there again, Leo Yelder.
2.5 million. Cheaper than every goalkeeper on the game.
What'll happen is you look at people's teams, there'll be three Sunderland players on the fucking bench.
That's exactly how it'll get down.
I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, well, I picked him in the squad. He didn't see. Since he started 11, his squad.
Oh, class.
Oh, this has been good. Like, it's been too long.
Yes. When's the first? When is the first pre-season game? Because I'll do another podcast. The game after that. After the what's it called? The Gateshead Shields combo.
It's 12th of July. 12th of July is the Gateshead Shields game day.
So we've got a month off of podcast, and then we'll go into the 25-26 season. That's when they'll start, weekly after that point. And I will be weekly, okay?
Well,
I'll be consistent. Now I'm in a dedicated apartment.
Like and subscribe.
See it, mate. It looks blurry. Like,
do with Thogden. I'm Thogden's best friend. Like and subscribe.
Hold on.
Right, do you not know who Fog Dad is, though?
I'm pretty sure
you go. He goes. Smells like promotion. Have you not seen that?
That tastes like promotion.
Sounds like a complete twat.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say...
They support Bolton Wanderers. Right. Yeah.
All right.
That explains it, then.
Can you put them on the screen now? I've just sent you something. It's fucking hilarious. Like,
right, I just need to make sure. Okay. Is it safe?
Yeah, man, it's safe.
It's safe for YouTube guidelines.
It's Reggie, mate. Reggie and a bit of Geordie Shaw as well.
Oh god!
Right, okay. Yes.
Come on, let's have a watch.
Well, yeah, we're just on.
I'm showing it onto the stream for everybody first, and then I'll do it for you as well. It's share.
So I don't know if you saw when I sent that. Oh,
let's see what this is.
You got to watch the stream.
Bonjour, you fucking Rajis.
Oh my god!
Do you see that there? That the fucking thing that I sent in the chat earlier on about the fucking mags saying that that Reg was going to get sacked and all this kind of shit.
Oh no!
Yeah, man.
I found it in the depth of Twitter. Bonjour, you fucking Rajis.
Scroll through the comments then. Not one of them aged well, did they?
But on the same regard, is the photos from Michael earlier on.
Unreal.
Oh, the Coventry ones.
Fucking no. Knobs. Can I just tell you this story before we go? I'll tell you this story just before we go about going down to Wembley. So I get on the train 7 o'clock in the morning, obviously starts drinking fairly early, probably about 7:30. Mm. There was this bloke who kept going to the toilet backwards and forwards.
On the sniff.
He was drooling and that. And then we got chatting him and he says, I'm in a bit of a ket hole. You don't ket me. It's 8 o'clock in the morning in a catch ball. I just hope he survived to see us win.
Should have got your number, Alan.
I do survive 24 hours.
Fucking. Oh, okay. At least he had a good day.
Fair play, that guy.
Fucking hell. Right. Anyways, any final comments for people?
What my final comment is. How are the lads? No, I know it's a rough season. Like, there was a time where we thought we might get automatically promoted, and then we pretty much resigned ourselves to the playoffs. And I didn't want to go through the playoffs, and Alan said that a lot. He didn't want to go through the playoffs, but fucking hell, we got through the playoffs. So let's fucking do it. Been a long hard season. Shout out to Labrie, shout out to Speakman, shout out to KLD. All of them did a pretty good job. They had a 5-year plan, and the fucking 5-year plan has delivered.
Shout out to KLD.
Shout out to KLD. Oh, just so you're aware, this is a fun fact anybody can use at any point. Since KLD has came in, we've won every game at Wembley.
Yes, sir.
FA Cup final next year.
Papa John's swapping again. Oh, sorry, no. FA Beers.
Hey, our under-23s can win that.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Just going. No, seriously, obviously I've only been on tonight, but thanks for having me on. It's been a long time since obviously I've been on here. No, it's been really class to chat to everyone. Awesome. And just also, Chris Wilder, I hope your tears taste lovely, mate.
And also, just to tag on the end of that, all the fucking Sky commentators who were like fucking giving it this as well, they can all fuck off. Fucking Joby McEnough, all of them cunts.
Yeah.
David Prutton, I won't see you next year, mate. I'll be watching Match of the Day.
You've had a McEnough for that one.
Isn't Gary Lineker off Match of the Day now, isn't he?
Yeah, it's Chappers now, isn't it? Chappers and someone else.
Chappers and Dave. Right. That's fun. By the way, you're welcome on any time, by the way. Anybody in the Discord is welcome.
We were going to get Bong on for the fucking promotion celebrations.
He's been in the chat. Just
we got this guy. Wait,
No. We were going to get him on.
Yeah.
Have you just got a series of Chris Wilder photos saved on your phone?
It's in a folder called Wank Bank.
It's in a password protective folder.
Yeah, sure. What a file called that, Wanker.
That is a hard wank, that. Jesus.
Matt is just coming to the gym, by the way.
Don't want to get through that smudge. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Matt, do you know who Chris Wilder is?
No.
But I will show her that photo again. No, did you find this bloke attractive? Real quick.
Oh, hang on.
Is it now, man?
Show it now. Fine. There you go.
You might as well get a picture of someone's granddad and put it up there.
He looks
a bit like,
he looks like Papa Elf in a Christmas movie.
He looks like my granddad.
His face is melting. Like, you know, in Indiana Jones, where that guy's face starts to melt.
What, when you open the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I could public a reference near the end there, right? We'll call it there.
No, seriously, thanks for having us on, though. It's been class.
It's been fun.
It's a pleasure, boys.
All right. Any more comments?
Yeah, cheers.
Cool. I'll catch you next season. Off. See ya.
Catch you next season.
Thank you.
I'm watching on the TV now.